Pollution and global warming are already major environmental problems, but another growing menace concerns environmentalists. We're talking about dog poop. That's right. We're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so talking about dog poop. The Environmental Protection Agency studied waste from 100 dogs over a two-day period, and the findings were pretty alarming. And there were enough bacteria to actually force the closing of a city's watershed. Here's what environmental scientist Andy Lycan told Tampa Bay's ABC affiliate.
Dog poop, that's a really big problem. That introduces nitrogen in the water and fecal matter into the water. That's one of the big reasons why beaches get shut down. When you get a lot of rainfall at one time, it pushes everything at once.
Dog poop is causing similar environmental concerns here in Georgia. Anna Troschinski is with the Georgia Environmental Protection Division. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Anna, the Georgia Environmental Protection Division, is that affiliated with the EPA? And if so, how?
So we are a state regulatory agency, and we have some of our authorities delegated from EPA, while other programs are focused exclusively on state-level regulations. So a lot of the stuff that I work with is actually delegated authority through the Clean Water Act.
So what is your mission? What is your charge?
So our charge is to protect the waters of the state of Georgia, allow the folks and the citizens of the state of Georgia to keep using them for business, for recreation, for pleasure.
So help us with a little geography here and maybe a little civics lesson. Remind us of the major waterways and rivers and creeks. I mean, I know Chattahoochee is the Chattahoochee River is the first thing that comes to mind, but there are several other important rivers in the state.
Yeah, we look at the Savannah Ogeechee, the Flint, the Altamaha. We've got a lot of big rivers in Georgia that are important for our economy and also for
Coosa,
our people.
Coosa, St. Mary's,
tons.
Suwannee, right?
Yep.
So how would you describe, we're talking about dog poop here, mm-hmm. How would you describe the dog poop problem in Georgia and its impact on Georgia's waterways?
Sure, and I'm going to pull out just a little bit because
sure.
Pet waste has a couple of different components with it.
Oh, that's a better way of saying it, pet waste. Let me make a note of that, yes.
Yeah, the official term, pet waste, right?
Yes.
So pet waste has a couple of different issues. In that clip you played, there was the mention of nitrogen and phosphorus, so nutrients that can cause plant growth and can cause things like algae blooms or excessive aquatic plant growth in our streams and rivers and lakes. You also have the waste itself,
yeah.
Which decomposes when it hits the water. It's decomposing the whole time, but when it hits the water, it's starting to use up that oxygen. So things like fish that need that oxygen in the water, they can't breathe nearly as well. And then lastly, and probably most obviously, are the fecal coliforms. So fecal coliforms are a type of bacteria that indicate to us that there may be other nasty things in the water. Things like salmonella, for example. The most famous fecal coliform is E. coli, and that's one that we're all pretty familiar with.
So I feel like I'm looking at your site right now. So a single gram of pet waste contains an average of 23 million fecal coliform bacteria,
mm-hmm.
And some of which can cause disease in humans.
Yeah,
So this gets us to why this is so important to have this conversation, correct?
Exactly right. So no one wants to be playing or recreating in water that's dirty, and pathogens in particular cause concern because while some of the stuff in fecal coliform is unlikely to have a big impact, other things like the E. coli, like salmonella that's associated with it but not actually a fecal coliform,
yeah.
Can have real health impacts on folks that get infected.
So, okay, simple question. Pretty simple answer, and the fix is pretty simple as well. Why do we have a pet waste problem in Georgia or anywhere in the country?
So the reason we have this issue is because people are not out there picking up after their dogs.
Yes. It's that simple, isn't it?
It is that simple, and that's one of the reasons that you hear a lot of municipalities and a lot of states and EPA talk about this, because the impact is big. You can mm-hmm. shut down a coastal beach. There were studies done in California, in Florida, that show that canine-associated fecal matter is one of the most important pollutants there, leading to those beach closures. I don't know if something similar in Georgia, but still, it's a huge impact, right? Mm-hmm. And the solution's so simple. Just pick up after your dog when you're taking him out on a walk.
How bad are we at cleaning up after our pets?
So the number I see thrown around the most is about 40% of us are not picking up after our dogs.
40%?
Yes.
I see people with bags all the time. So what is this? There's some faking out going on here. Are we selective about it? We'll do it one day and not the next, or we'll figure out this is an area where we can leave it. It's no big deal. It'll fertilize the lawn. What's the rationale for us not being better at something that we should be doing?
There are a couple of different barriers towards that action. So the first thing is that sometimes people don't realize the impact that pet waste can have on water quality. Mm. And it's especially hard when you think about just your dog, right? Because just your dog might not have a big impact, but all the dogs in Metro Atlanta are going to have a pretty significant impact on water quality if no one is picking up.
Yeah.
It's also, and I've got a dog myself, it's also a little bit gross, so people are sometimes kind of put off by that.
Right.
And then finally, there aren't always trash receptacles. People might forget a bag. They don't have some place to put
it. I think mm-hmm. that's kind of a big one, not having it. So you end up, and it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. So you pick up, and if there's no receptacle nearby, you're sort of walking around with this smelly poop in your bag and whatever else, and so, you know, you don't pick up. So I think that's a big one. Having more receptacles would probably help the situation a bit, right?
Yeah, I used to work for a local government, and one of the things that we did were identify areas where you could put additional receptacles to try to encourage more people to actually pick up after their dog and then not have to walk a mile or something to actually be able to throw it away. Make that last step just a little bit easier.
So you're in the information business as well as the testing business and strategy business and tactics business. So when you talk to people about an issue like this, give me a sense of some of the feedback that comes your way.
Sure. So we get all across the board. We get it from folks who say, you know what, my dog, it's a little chihuahua. There's nothing going on with that pet waste. They don't think that's a big deal. All the way through folks who are saying, can you help us print out signs and teach my neighbors about picking up after dogs? Because this is a big problem. I don't want to step in it. I don't want to swim in it. I don't want to see it. So we get all sorts of reactions from folks.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Anna Troschensky. She is a manager at North, a non-point source program for Georgia Environmental Protection Division. Let's see here. I made a hash of it, but non-point source program. What is that?
Yeah, so non-point source program is dedicated to, as the name might indicate, non-point source pollution. And that's kind of a tricky thing to wrap your mind around. A lot of people think about point source pollution, so things like a end of a pipe out of a factory. There is one point, and that pollution's coming from it. Non-point source is all that pollution coming in across the landscape. So whenever it rains, stormwater runoff just rushes across every surface, picks up whatever's there, and carries it, oftentimes through a stormwater system, into our streams and rivers directly.
Yeah, if we get back to this idea of pet waste here for a second, I mean, there are dynamics to this, right? It's certainly a bigger issue in big metropolitan areas, right? And maybe not such an issue in rural areas?
Yeah, so I haven't seen specific studies that break it out that well, but we know that in urban municipalities, there's a big push, either coming from the citizens or coming from the folks that are implementing these stormwater programs, to really focus on pet waste. It's a very visible problem, and it's one that's really easy for people to tackle. So in urban areas, we do see a lot more movement towards addressing pet waste than we do in more rural counties.
And pet waste hits an open space, a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
It's left there. What happens to it?
It sits there until you either pick it up or until the rain comes. Picks it up, washes it down into the storm drain. Stormwater systems go right to our streams and rivers, and so then it just hits our natural waterways and starts decomposing, using up that dissolved oxygen that's in the water, allowing those pathogens to spread in the water, and then causing the environmental impact there.
And we must think that if it's washed away, it's being broken up. By the time it hits the watershed, it can't be that much of a problem.
And at least the research that was done in California and Florida indicates that this isn't the case, because in those places, those studies found that, you know, the fecal coliform from dogs was a big contributing factor. A lot of municipalities would like to know more about this in particular because they want to really utilize their resources well. So we're seeing more municipalities in Georgia using new testing methods to try to break apart. Okay, we know we've got fecal coliform. Can we do any bacteria source tracing, microbial source tracing to identify, hey, where are these bacteria coming from?
You know, I'm also wondering, generally speaking, what kind of shape are our waterways in Georgia? And you're talking about the streams, we're talking about the rivers. What kind of shape are the waterways in right now?
So that's going to vary waterway by waterway. We have some that have absolutely no degradation. They are beautiful waterways. And we have others that have different sources of impairment. Mm-hmm. So fecal coliform is one of the most common types of impairment in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
Another common one is total suspended solid. So really an easy way to think about it is sediment or dirt, stuff that's floating in the water and making it murkier. So that's what we see most commonly across Georgia. And we do have quite a number of impaired waterways, especially in those metro regions. So if you look at, and the state has a list of these impaired waters, the 303D, 305B list is published and updated every 2 years. And you can take a look and see, okay, in metro Atlanta, we do have quite a number of these impaired streams.
Nice. What are the real health concerns of pet waste and fecal material in the waterways?
The biggest concern with fecal material and pet waste is really those potential pathogens that have big human impacts. So things like roundworm are a concern, yeah. Things like E. coli, salmonella. So the fecal coliforms themselves kind of tell us that there might be these potential health hazards, but they're really the ones that we're worried about.
Yeah. In terms of information, getting information to people, what are the pathways for you? What sources do you use to get the message out of the importance of this kind of work and picking up after your pets?
A lot of this work is actually done on the local level, and municipalities have done some really creative things to get the word out there. So they're handing out pet waste bags. They're coming up with these adorable slogans, scoop the poop, stop pollution, things like that, and really working directly and hands-on with those communities. For us, we make those impaired waters lists available. We encourage folks to reach out to their local government. Some of them are doing impaired water sampling and may have some new testing results that could be of use. And then there are other programs like the U.S. Geological Survey's Bacteria Alert, which gives you almost real-time data for the Chattahoochee River with E. coli.
Anna, good to see you.
Thank you.
Anna Toshchinsky, she's with the Georgia Environmental Protection Division. Anna, thanks.
Thank you.